What's up, fam? Welcome to the Boom Podcast. I'm Candace Wynn, and I am here with, of course, my brother, Robert E. Purvey.
Come on, you threw the middle initial on this one.
It's official. But it's branding, right?
It's official.
Are we trying to brand ourselves?
I'm just saying, normally you just treat me like I'm some normal guy. Today, you actually did my
Robert
name.
Robert E. Purvey. Come on. Do I say it wrong?
No, I like it. Keep that.
Keep that.
That's that respect
energy.
Level. My respect level going up in your life.
Jesus, I don't know about that.
I love it.
Nothing but love for you, bro. Nothing but love. How long you been in ministry?
Oh, 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. And so your years.
Don't say gosh like that, like I'm old. like gosh.
Well, I'm right behind you. So we're the same age. So if you started out and been in ministry 20 years, yeah. Then, you know, you were what, 20 when you started?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same, right? I think I might have been 21. So you're a little bit older than me in ministry, a little seasoned. So I got to lean on your saged wisdom. You work more so with youth, right?
Youth and young adult.
Mm-hmm. Any work with kids at all?
No.
No?
No.
He said that with the quickness.
No, like that. That's why I'm so glad we have a certain guest here today to talk about that. Because kids ain't, I don't even like doing my kids.
So I start.
They need discipleship from somebody else. I don't even like discipleship at all.
Don't mess with my girl, Lane. Okay. Listen, she holds it down.
Do you hear me?
So my background is I started out doing birth through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I experienced doing birth through 12th grade is that I even saw this when I just stuck with youth ministry, right? But I had a hard time trying to figure out how to make sure that everybody got what they needed.
Yeah.
That based on their you know, development and where they were in life, right? But then also what I noticed is as I continued doing youth ministry and over the years, I shifted into doing just youth ministry. And then I became a next gen pastor where I had staff who oversaw, and I oversaw the entire ministry. But one of the things I saw too within that throughout all those years is that I never did young adult like you did young adult. I never did young adult ministry. But when my teens grew up, one of the things that I saw was that because we didn't have a young adult ministry in place, that they stayed with me. Mm-hmm. Like they would go away to go to college, and when they come back on breaks, they would stay within, come to the youth ministry because that's where they felt at home, right?
Yeah.
Or if our church didn't necessarily really have a young adult ministry, if they didn't move away, then they continued to stay connected and kept coming and not to had politely kick some kids out, right?
you did it politely?
I mean, you know, you gotta politely kind of shift their role and put them over like a leadership. Hey, let's get you to volunteer. But that leads us to this conversation that we're talking about today. The conversation we're talking about today is just merging the gap between children's ministry and youth ministry and young adult ministry. Because within our churches, one of the things that I've seen is either you have a ministry that's just birth to 12th grade or birth to young adult, and everybody's in the same room doing the same thing, not really having things that are unique to their age level. Or I've seen the children's ministry over here, youth ministry over here. And if the church has a young adult ministry, then they over there, and everyone is so disjointed, and there's no blending between everyone.
Yeah.
So this conversation today is kind of like, hey, how can we get on the same page and make sure that at the level or the age that we are overseeing, how do we oversee that age level properly while also still having some sort of a continuity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we have today, we got two people that I am just like so excited, right, to talk about. And ladies first. So we have my sister, Tara Cartina, and she is a ministries director over at Christian Life Center. Hey, sis.
Hey.
So happy to have you here with
I'm
us
glad
today.
To be here.
And you're in children's ministry, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Children's ministry is where I love to be.
Yeah, with the babies, huh?
Yes.
The youngins. Okay.
Special grace over your life. I promise you. the fact that you like it.
Yeah. But some people say that about just general youth ministry, period. Yeah, the fact that you want to be in there with the kids.
True.
You know. And then we also have my boy Jay Wallace. Hey, Jay. And Jay is the young adult director at Peace Baptist Church.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about both of your background. How did y'all end up getting into ministry, and why kids? Why young adults?
Ladies first.
Well, I would say kids. I had kids. So I am a mother of four.
Okay.
Okay. And a GD to 3.5. So I felt like because I was a mother of four that I needed to participate with children's ministry. And so, and then my background is early childhood. So it was my major also. But I eased into children's ministry because I had four kids. Mm. And I wanted them to have a dynamic experience in high. And you know, how else to ensure that, but be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make sure. And so, because I wanted it to be developmentally appropriate, I wanted to input, I went into children's ministry. I started out in the baby room. Mm-hmm. All right. And then I just moved up from there. As they moved up, I moved up.
Yeah.
But when they got to teen ministry, I was like, I'm moving back down.
It was just too much, huh?
Too much.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah.
So that's how I got into it.
Okay, what about you, Jay?
That's what's up. So I grew up in the church with my dad. I didn't live with my dad, but when I was with my dad, I loved going to church. And so we had a very vibrant youth ministry just in general, from kids all the way to teens. And so that was like my highlight of my weekend. I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get to church because I knew this is where my friends were, all of the different things. And so as I, you know, progressed through children's ministry and teen ministry, I of course loved it, but we didn't necessarily have a young adult ministry in general. So after I graduated and I kind of was on my own, I didn't have to choose. I mean, I wasn't forced to come to church technically. Then, you know, I went the whole college route, you know, wild out, did the whole thing. And I felt my own type of void for young adult ministry because I was a young adult at that time and I just didn't know where to find that at. Big church was cool, but it always was mentally as a kid, I was like, oh, big church is so much older compared to, you know, my young adult or kid perspective. And so with that, and then also coupling that with my dad moving to Orlando, and he was the head of the youth ministry and the teen ministry. There was kind of a gap that was left for the students that he had my age range that kind of, you know, floated afterwards. And so because I grew up inside that environment and I knew the people and stuff, I just had a level of attachment to seeing my friends that kind of grew up have a space as well. And so it didn't start off like, oh yeah, I'm gonna jump into ministry, but I just knew I rededicated my life. I got baptized and I was like, yeah, I want to do this, you know, God thing. And so who wants to read the Bible with me? And a Bible study small group kind of led to it turning from 6 people to 25 people to 30, you know. And so my pastor saw what I was doing and he was like, hey, you know, I know that you're kind of working here with our social media here and there, but like, do you have a heart for this? And I was like, yeah, I want to do the young adult thing. And so that's kind of the origin story of all of that. And through that, it's been a really exciting experience just seeing us kind of bring to life something that didn't necessarily exist and trying to figure out how to be that bridge between youth and adulthood. And so it's been pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Shout out to Jeff Wallace. He's like a youth ministry OG, man.
Yeah, man. It's my
much
dog.
Much respect to your pops.
What up, twin?
Much respect. Yeah. Listen, when I first saw
definitely that.
The first time I saw Jay, I was like, yo, you stole your daddy's whole entire face.
Yeah, all the time. All the time, literally. Everything.
Man, man. So talk to me about a little bit about what y'all have seen when it comes to transitioning from one grade level to the next. As y'all have seen people transition from like kids ministry to youth ministry, young adult ministry, what's that been like for y'all?
I would say at the onset, there wasn't anything. Mm. It was a debacle. Mm. It was just, let's just put these kids in the next grade. Let's not prepare them. Mm. Let's not talk about it, you know, amongst each other. And so I personally, you know, think that is such a disservice, you know, to everybody. We should communicate. Mm. All of us, all the ministries should communicate on a regular basis so we'll know, you know, where to take the kids because we need to know where they've been. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what they learned, what they got, you know, what are they taking with them? You know what I mean? But I, on the onset, it was nothing done. Nothing was done. And so I definitely have taken upon myself, me and my youth pastor, to have a succession plan. What's the succession plan? To take the kids to the next level.
That's really good. That's good. I think for us, we were always collaborative because we'll have programs or things of that nature that we say, oh, okay, the teens and the kids work together for this program. But there wasn't necessarily like a, okay, this is the transitional phase. Mm-hmm. We just knew, man, I can't wait to get to teen church, you know, as kids. And so that was kind of our transitional aspect of it. It was more so like, this is a preview of what it looks like. They're doing all of these dope things here and we're doing dope things here. But once I got to that fourth and fifth grade, I was like, yeah, I can't wait to be a middle schooler to get over on the other side. And so I think that that was our only type of like experience of transition was just the perspective that we saw of the other group, but then the longing and, you know, I can't wait to get older to be a part of that thing for us, you know, so growing up.
Yeah, it's something that I've always done terribly.
What's that?
In my ministry, like ministry transitions or making sure that the gap is merged. I mean, like even, I feel like even when I was leading all of it, I don't know that I necessarily provided smooth transitions from one phase or stage or grade level ministries to the next. I feel like it's one of those, if there's any, a few things that I could look back and say, hey, here's some things that I could have done better. Parents and ministry transitions. Those two things are things that I bombed at. Bombed at.
But I think especially in our churches, we know they're going to go from one stage to the next. We know that. It's one thing we know as leaders, right? I think we don't do a good job preparing for it. Because on one hand, we can't get people to stay in a department long enough.
That's true.
Right?
That is true.
Because traditionally what it's been is you have ministers that start in children or youth ministry. And for most black churches, children and youth are always together. Right? And so they start there and it's only a step up into being a senior leader. Right? So they're only in ministry for what, 3 to 4 years. And in doing it, they're not thinking transition of the ministry. They're thinking of, you know, they preaching adult sermons to students, just trialing them out on the kids, right?
And
so I think as we go into this new phase or age and stage of just ministry, especially in the black church, we have to think like, what does transition actually look like when it comes to this theme of next gen, right? Which is why I'm glad both of you are here, because it sounds like your churches have at least some idea of what a stage transition looks like by having like set people in place that can help collaborate. Cause I'm pretty sure you have some meetings with the youth pastor and I'm pretty sure you have some meetings with the youth pastor and children to see what that transition looks like. So before we go further, I would like to, like, how do you manage that? How, in your particular context, cause there are next gen leaders that are listening to this podcast that can really gain some insight and help. So how are you managing those transition in a collaborative effort along with other departments in the church? With other next gen departments in the church. Because next gen, for y'all who are listening, next gen, we consider it children, youth, and young adult. And college age, if you will. How does that collaborative effort look in you guys' context?
I know for us, we have our 0 to 35, we consider it the yard. And so that's youth development. And we have leader in each one of those sectors. So we have a leader of children, a leader of students, a leader of young adults, and then like kind of an overseeing person that helps facilitate the movement of that. And so we collaboratively meet regularly about the yard and how we have the ability to connect, but then also support each other. And we just kind of see ourselves as a mini church inside the church. And so everything that we do as far as a staff meeting with our larger, staff, we do it in this smaller staff capacity as well. And we just try to be as intentional with communication as possible. And, you know, we just was able to hire somebody to be a youth coordinator that is the person that really helps streamline the synergy between each sector. And that has helped us a lot with being able to know, okay, this is what this group is doing, this is what this group is doing, and this is what to look ahead about, so we can possibly weave in components. Because all of us touch every aspect of each other. You know, when it comes to children, student and young adult, we all have a element of each other's presence inside our ministry. And so it makes sense for us not to be siloed, but to be as collaborative as possible.
Yeah. So you said something real quick. You say the yard,
yeah,
which is children, youth, young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Are all one, it's next gen.
Yeah.
But you said, I love the way you said, I hope y'all heard this. He said, we are the church within the church.
Yeah.
Not just the youth church is a church within
That's
the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just the children. That whole age group
yep.
is a church within the church.
Whoa.
I promise you, I've been doing youth ministry or ministry period 20 years. I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. Where the mindset is from children all the way to young adult is one-minded group of that we're the church within the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's dope.
Yeah. And I mean, because honestly, when you think about youth and next gen, it is the heartbeat of a church. Like mm. When you can do it well and you can give spaces for parents to be able to have a place to take their child, you know, or just help with the discipleship aspect of each level. It's the thing that will pump life into your church because you have to replace yeah. your senior leaders. You have yep. to replace your yeah. youth. You have to replace those sectors every single time. And so it only makes sense to put as much emphasis in it. And I think that's sometimes where children or not children, this somewhere sometimes where churches fall short because they are an afterthought versus mm-hmm. like the main thought.
Ooh. Yeah.
So
and after.
Yeah.
So how does that look in your context? Because I ask because you are. You do children.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are the premier ministry of That's churches.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's where it starts.
That's right.
So how do you advocate for them in you guys' next gen context? How does that look?
I'm loud, but I don't let them forget about the children.
Mm.
I don't care what program that we're having. I'm like, what about the children? How are they going to be ministered to? But I do have a youth pastor and a senior pastor who thinks it's important. And so we come together about, okay, what does this look like in succession? Like, how are we merging together to be able to let the children be familiar with the next age group. So what are we doing? Are they coming over here to help volunteer? Are they coming over here to help, you know, teach them? Like I have a youth coming over to help teach the kids how to really conduct praise and worship. And so we collaborate that way. Our succession plan is about, okay, what do you want the kids to know when they come to youth ministry?
Yeah.
Right. So I'll know my curriculum, you know, meets that need, right. As well as us trying to kind of go along with the senior pastor too. So if he's preaching on something, we try to kind of go together to preach on that also. But what does it look like before they come? Can my parents have a meeting with my parents have a meeting with the youth ministry? Mm. My parents are afraid to let my kids go because they know we're nurturing. You know, children's ministry is nurturing.
Yeah.
We're loving on the babies now. But they want to know that are they going to be nurturing over on the other side?
That's right.
And so in order to be comfortable, they need to know your leaders.
Yeah.
And I know we have a turnover, but you got some staple people who are there forever. Come on.
Yeah.
Some people that never leave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I need them to come talk to my parents, right?
Yeah.
I need some time away. I need for my kids to be able to go visit your services because they're nervous about, you know, meeting new people. I need them to connect with a mentor in the youth ministry.
And I've seen senior leaders do this, senior pastors, when their kids are in going to fourth and fifth grade, all of a sudden they, oh my God, we got to do something for fourth and fifth grade. When their kids are going to middle school, oh, we got to specialize in middle school needs this. So whatever like the senior pastor is experiencing within their kids, then that's all of a sudden the ministry that gets the most attention, what they really care about, right?
Yeah.
But let me tell you how I experience this personally. So my son is in the fourth grade and as I'm watching my baby, and I'm now getting emotional talking about my baby growing up, right? Lord have mercy. As I'm watching my baby grow up, oh my gosh, I'm really getting emotional. Stop it. But as I'm watching my baby grow up and I'm seeing the things that he's exposed to and the conversations that he's having with us, and I'm overhearing the conversations that he's having with his friends, right? I all of a sudden just understand that senior leader who's caring about that phase a whole lot more. I get it differently, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, me as a parent and as my kid is transitioning from children's ministry to youth ministry, I'm nervous about the greater exposure that my kid is going to get.
Yeah.
So the more that you can have that open door for a parent to be able to step in and be welcomed differently, say, hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm over the youth ministry. Here are the things we're going to be talking about, right? Yeah. This is the way that we do things in this space. The more that we can do that for our parents, even, you know, like it just kind of smooths the, cause I know for me, there've been some kids who have transitioned from fourth and fifth grade ministry because we started one of those once the pastor's child got into fourth and fifth grade. But once some of the kids transitioned from fifth grade to the youth ministry, I watched some kids not show up to church. Mm-hmm. I watched some kids go into the adult auditorium with their parents and walk right by the youth room. Yes. I watched those things happen. So what you're talking about, ain't nothing but an amen over here. Yeah. But then even with that, like think about like, hey, after someone maybe have transitioned into your grade level, because maybe even thinking about from like babies, going from like the preschool into like elementary ages too, right? Or maybe even into your young adult ministry. Any milestones that y'all celebrate from like either like, hey, 3 month mark, you're here. Let's talk about this or let's do this. If not, no judgment. Like, you know, hey, but anything y'all do like that, or hey, I've been in here a year. This is how we can, you know, celebrate or welcome you all. Or this is what you can expect next or anything like that.
We do celebrate pre-K to going to kindergarten. And we do celebrate fourth and fifth going over to the youth ministry.
What does that look like for you all?
We call it a tape flight ceremony. And so it depends on the children. We let the children design it.
Ooh.
And so one time we had a fashion show. They wanted to do a fashion show to go over to the
All right, wait, hold on. Don't fly through that. You let what?
I let the children decide what type of.
Not the parents.
No.
Not the youth.
Not you. No. Not you.
Not us.
Wow.
Let them decide. Last year we had a lock-in and we spent the night overnight and with them and talked to, you know, we had a small group with them to talk to them about their apprehensions about going over.
Wait, Tara, slow down. I'm for real.
I'm like, let me take my notebook.
You just said you had small groups in children ministry that talked about how they felt going to the next level.
Yes.
That is so important. So
yes.
I may cut you off again, but it's because like, I'm for real. I need next gen leaders to hear this. Like that's because when we think about transition, we just pass them along.
Yes.
And we do one little ceremony, we throw a party and we pass them along. The step you said is that we actually had conversation to see how they feel. So you can have a conversation with the leaders they're going to know how to open their doors and program for them because each generation is different.
Yeah.
That's great. So keep telling us about Take Flight.
So whatever they want to do with the Take Flight, because our youth ministry is called Fly and Faith Led Youth. And so they're taking flight to fly over to Fly.
Wow.
So that is why we have a ceremony. So it's just fun. It may be all fun. It may be no talking, but we do have kids that sometimes do a little messy or something or talk about how they feeling so about coming over. And so, but we let them design it. And so it's all fun. And of course, we're going to have a party afterward because I like having a party about everything.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that. I think I definitely took notes. Definitely taking it back. For us, we do love transitions. We think that transitions are important in the same way we have pre-K into kindergarten. We have fourth and fifth fifth graders going into middle school, middle schoolers going into high school, and then young adults in college. And so, but we just primarily have the season of graduation kind of be our season of celebration. And so we do kind of the same thing where we have a celebratory thing where we pause the regular service for adults and we allow the youth to kind of take over the service for adult church. And that's the place where we give graduational praise to the students. We allow like the valedictorian to kind of speak of the actual yard that we have. And then we give scholarships and things of that nature during that time as well too. And so that's our primary thing, but we definitely don't have a small group, you know, element of it yet, but that's something that we want to be able to just highlight and champion every single year who is about to transition to the next phase.
So as they transition, are any of your leaders encouraged to maintain connection or to stay involved or to kind of stay walk with them for a certain period or check in? How does that work with the volunteers that y'all have?
I'm going to tell you, they tell me to stay away, right. But I don't because the kids need the support, you know, They do encourage them to try to pass them off to another leader. But I want the kids to be connected first. Yeah. They got to connect to them. Mm-hmm. They got to feel like it's a safe space in order for them to be comfortable. Because sometimes my kids want to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they want to come back. And just like you said, they're going to the big church instead of going to youth because they're so nervous. But I stay connected to the parents.
Yeah.
I stay connected. And they can come back and see us after service. Mm-hmm. After they attend youth at the end, they can come back and say hey to us.
Yeah, in the same way, we have students and parents that stay connected through the entire process. And so it's never like, oh, I will never, like how we are in school, like, oh man, I'll never see my fifth grade teacher ever again. You know, people are always coming back to the areas that they left. But then also in the same way, we have teens that help volunteer with the kids in the nursery. We have, you know, kids that, you know, sometimes comes into teen church and might be needed for an illustration or something of that nature. And so everybody kind of reach down and still support each other with the volunteer aspect of it, but then they also give the ability for you to, hey, I just want to kick it inside. We call it like the loft for the students. Yeah. I want to kick it with the loft, or I want to go to the village with the kids, and all of these different areas that they are already familiar with to still have that level of engagement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I hear is like it's high collaboration, which is great. I'm glad both of your churches collaborate. That way we don't have one church that does, one church that doesn't, and want somebody feeling left out. But
I feel left out because I never did it.
I mean, so here it is. If we chopped the table in half, it would be me and you, because I never collaborated with the children's pastor at my church. And we were a 6,000 plus member church.
Yeah.
And we never collaborated on anything. Mm-hmm. Right? We were siloed out.
Yeah.
And so, but it with that, and we can talk about successes, which is great. But like, what are some challenges that you guys think, or some pitfalls that churches face when you're transitioning kids and teens between ministries? Like what are some things that you miss?
Yeah.
Like, I know you have from, Take Flight to Fly, right? And you guys have the yard, but what are some pitfalls and challenges within that you face when it comes to transition? What's some things you can actually do better at?
I think we can do better at a lot of resources, you know what I mean, to the ministry. I feel like sometimes children's ministry get the bottom of the thing. Oh, you know what I mean? As far as we coming up with a budget, youth ministry going to get the bigger budget. I feel that across the board. Like, I don't talk to too many of my children's pastors. That they'll get it. It's not that I'm saying that we don't get any, but I feel like they put more emphasis on their music, on their atmosphere, you know, and things like that. And that's important over in my area too, because we run children's ministry just like big church, just like youth ministry. Yeah. We got praise and worship. We got this. I want them to have lights, not flashing lights, but I want them, you know, to have an atmosphere.
Here in Atlanta, gotta be careful with flashing lights.
I don't want no episodes.
Atlanta. Hot Atlanta.
But I want the same atmosphere.
Yeah.
I want them to, you know, think that they're coming in an atmosphere that is conducive for them. And so I feel like resources are not as allotted the same as it is youth ministry. So I definitely think we can do that better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you talked about atmosphere, because I think that at least for our church, that's something when you see the transitional phase that can be intimidating for the kids. Because let's say you have, for our ministry, we call it the village for K through five. The lights are white light. It's bright, you know, in there. It's very vibrant and colorful. Once you get to middle school with like the loft, then it gets real moody and it's vibe. You know what I'm saying? So even for the children, that can be psychologically like, whoa, like this is a different environment and trying to transition and adapt, that could be challenging. So that's why I say I really do love the fact that y'all do small group aspect to build that level of community with the kids as they're transitioning in. I think that what us holistically as churches can do, even when it comes to, because when you look at student life in church with 6th grade through 12th grade. That is the middle aspect or the bridge between kids and adulthood. Mm-hmm. And so with that, being able to kind of phase it out in a way where the 6th graders are freshly new into a middle school environment in itself. And so allow them to have a transitional space in themselves to get accustomed to these things, you know, because I know a lot of people have, again, 6th graders with 12th graders, but even the conversations are different. Mm-hmm. So it's like there has to be a level of space and understanding that a 6th grader just was, you know, riding their bike outside, yeah. you know, right. as a 5th grader last year. And so they might not be in the mindset to talk about sex and to talk about, you know, drugs and all of these different things right. that could be very intimidating that might be a norm inside high schoolers' mindsets yeah. And environment. So I think that that can help a lot with the environment, but then also the conversations that could be phased out through the different small group aspect that can separate the people that are in different stages of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to just chime in on a pitfall because I got one. I got a story. So do y'all remember that Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody.
Right? Yes.
Everybody was on that thing. Yeah,
everybody.
Right?
Everybody. Yeah.
And so one of the things that we did within our church is we were like, hey, we want to do a series called not necessarily 13 Reasons Why, but 3 Reasons Why Your Life Matters. Play mm-hmm. on that. We had our graphics team to design a graphic. Mm-hmm. It looked just like yeah. it. It had a little Netflix mm-hmm. kind of little vibe going to it. And we were, so our youth got together for like, maybe like over the course of the summer and planned out what this series was going to look like. And we had decided, hey, we're going to kick off this series at the top of the school year. Our numbers are the highest. That's when everybody's going to be there. We pubbed it in the adult service. They were pushing this thing in the adult service, yeah. right? This series.
That's so cool.
They're going to be talking about 3 reasons why your life matters. Pushing it. So we decided to talk about it from different angles, right? But we were talking about bullying, peer pressure, and something else. I can't remember exactly what it was. But suicide. Mm. Bullying, peer pressure, and suicide, mm-hmm. right? Some of the things we wanted to hit on. So that first Sunday of the series, because I was kicking it off, right? I was like, hey, I'm leading it. I'm kicking this off. I had other people preaching at other times. This is, remember, top of the school year. Mm-hmm. We had middle school and high school combined in our spaces. Mm-hmm. I'm standing in the front of the room. Our room was packed. I mean, we had never seen this many middle schoolers and high schoolers in our youth room. We were taking chairs from the adults. I'm not even wow. exaggerating, mm-hmm. y'all. I got the Beautiful. Pictures and the videos mm-hmm. to prove it. We were taking chairs from the adult room and putting them in the youth room so that more people could have seats. We had kids sitting on the floor. There were so yeah. many people in this room. I'm standing up in the front preparing to preach this message and talking about, you know, suicide and why your life matters. And I just so happened to look down at the front row and there was 3 kids sitting on the front row. Just came over from kids ministry. They were so new 6th graders are essentially 5th graders, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Remember, I said yeah. my son is in 4th grade.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
gonna be him in a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking, I see these kids, and they're just playing around with each other, and their feet are just swinging back and forth, and they're just kind of bouncing in their chairs a little bit. And I looked, and I was like, "How am I going to clean this up?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we were one of those U rooms that we had the low lights, we had the high yeah. production, we had the fog, we had the LEDs, we had all this stuff going. So it was like a flow service, and I was just like, Holy Spirit, you got to give it to me, because how am I going to clean this up? There's no way that I can talk as deeply about this in the right. way that I was planning to in yeah. this moment, mm-hmm. right? And not to say that they don't need to hear that conversation, they do, but not the way that I was about to talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, so I don't know whether I could have, I might have bombed. I probably did bomb that day. But it was one of those things where this is why it's so important to think about the natural rhythms of the year mm-hmm. as you're planning conversations that you're going to talk about, because you got to think about, hey, is it really wise to talk about that at the top of the school year when you got these kids that are brand new into the ministry mm-hmm. and, you know, like, what are we doing right now? You know? And so I just think that that's one of the things that really for me set it up. And even it what that did also for me was it made me realize that I couldn't plan things in a vacuum.
Mm. Yeah.
And then why mm-hmm. am I to plan that series with a group of teenagers and a few adults? I wasn't planning it was more of like, hey, this is what we're doing. It wasn't like, hey, let's talk about what we want to do for this season or for this year or for our ministry for the, I mean, like it wasn't like a broader type of planning. It was more of like, hey, this is a series we want to do. And everybody was excited about it because it was hot at the time. Mm-hmm. So we've got to really just be careful about how we're doing when it comes to just transitioning and thinking about those things.
Because with that, and especially y'all, hear me out. In our black churches, y'all please stop putting the ministers that's trialing their sermons out on these kids. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the children's and youth ministry is not the place to have trial sermons and to put people back there. Like, because what you're hearing is intentionality in these specialized groups that brings the word to their level with an understanding of what they can, what they need to hear. Exactly. Because those sixth graders needed to hear about suicide, but in a different way than it was packaged for 10th through 12th graders. Right. Yeah. So what are some practical ways you guys are teaching your different age groups? Because Tara, when I first met you through Mike Owens, it was at Mike's
shout out to Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Mike.
It was at his conference, and you had a table, and you taught children's ministry, and you had some very practical tools you were giving parents on how to talk to teens. That's practicality, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, what are some ways, how do you implement that in ministry, making it practical for parents, but also making sure the message is on the kids level where they can receive it?
They have to be separated. I think small groups does it, but they got to be separated. We can't just group them all in the same room and think we're going to, you know, say the same thing and it's going to mean the same thing. And so I think we have to separate the age groups, because my 5-year-olds are just not ready, you know what I mean, for a big discussion on the Holy Spirit yet. They're not ready, you know what I mean? But my 4th and 5th grade, they are ready, you know what I mean? And they can understand it. And so we have to separate the age groups, you know what I mean, and make it intentional for that particular age group. And so, but I do think we need to include the parents. Like, I have parents fighting me for the kids to have baptism. Like, you know, the kids decide they want it, but the parents don't want it. So we got to educate them too. Mm-hmm. And because they think that we are the go-to all for spiritual development for their kids, but they're the first responder.
Yeah.
And so we have to sometimes help them be the first responder.
Mm-hmm. So good. Yes. Because I do believe that parents and households is the first church. Yeah. Like, you can't expect for you to just drop off your kid and then they come back and they know, you know, all of these different levels of, you know, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You know, like, you have to be able to be aware of it yourself, because parents are the first disciples that children will ever discover. You know, they're going to, and we say it all the time, there's 168 hours in a week, and you're giving your child over for 2 hours, you know, and expecting for the other 166, you know, hours to not mean anything to that child. And so I think that is important. But I do think that the church will grow larger when it grows smaller. Mm-hmm. And you have to continue to have small groups and have these different sectors and put ACEs in their spaces with the people who, man, you're really good with this age range. You're really good with just women. You're really good with just men. You're really good with boys, girls, you know, co-ed age ranges. I think that helps out the experience of really contextualizing the content and being able to spoon feed it to the children in a way, or the teens in a way where they'll be able to digest it the way that they need to in order to get the meat from the conversation. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So if we don't have healthy transitions, and this is, I want you guys' honest opinion. It may not be from what you do at your churches. This is just you as a young adult pastor, as a children's pastor and director. If we don't have smooth transitions in our churches, and Candace, I want the people to hear your heart on this too. If we don't have smooth transitions, what's at stake?
The church.
If our churches don't have smooth transitions, what's at stake? And how broken are we about losing a generation if we don't have these transitions?
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I think the church is at stake if we don't have smooth transitions.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, and I'm real passionate about this, because when you're thinking about children ministry, they don't have the choice to come to church. You know, they're usually coming with a parent that's dropping them off, or a friend or of the family. But when you get to the young adult age, if you didn't really cement and have that spiritual foundation that was implemented in that time frame, then what happens is, now I have the choice to choose to go to church or not. I'm not going to church. And what you do is, you have a generational gap of the church getting older, but they're not having anybody walking behind them that will replace them. And I think that, I think you said it one time, I think you put a thread up or something. You was talking about discipleship and how many people have discipleship models. And I'm like, that is the thing, because when we don't have a discipleship model of really reaching out and reaching down to another generation to let them know, hey, I'm a safety net for you as you're transitioning up, then they're going to feel disconnected. They're not going to feel like, oh, I have advocates inside the church that will allow me to really be myself and then teach me along the way. And so when I feel disconnected, I'm not going to just initiate myself to coming back to a space where I don't feel loved, understood, seen. And so I think that it is on our senior leadership primarily to really, from the ground down, build this level of culture so the church is not going to die with the aspect of a lack of discipleship down.
I do believe that we, as a children and youth, also, we got to advocate harder.
Yeah.
You know, I sit in meetings and I've watched people, you know, kind of back down, like when they challenge us for what we need in our youth and children's ministry. And I'm saying, don't back down.
Right.
Be the loud voice.
Yeah.
Continue to push the issue. You know what I mean? Because the children are at stake. Their lives are at stake and they need an anchor. We know we're struggling out here in this world. They need somebody. Too. They need an anchor. And if we don't give it to them, if we don't make it available to them, they're lost.
Yeah.
They're lost. And so because of that, push the issue, push that it matters to make them a priority. Push, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And don't back down. And I think sometimes we back down because we just say, we see ourselves as lowly as some churches do see children's ministry and youth as, this is just the babysitting area.
This is
just the area we want to put the children. Don't see yourself like that.
Right.
You are a foundation. You are giving them an anchor that they need now.
Yeah.
They don't need the anchor later when they get into high school and elementary school. I'm sorry. My babies are crying over things that are happening in their school now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So push the issue.
Yeah.
Push for it.
I love that.
Yeah. Because I think when we push those issues, y'all, like, the way you guys have expressed ministry today, I think what leaders are hearing is that when you individualize ministry and you focus on pre-K or kindergarten, first, second, elementary, middle school, when you focus on those things in ministry, it allows families to see how they need to focus on that in the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Because I know you guys have a lot of families, and what we're seeing now is more blended families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Blended families with different age groups.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you may have kids who are in elementary school, middle school, and high school, all in the same church.
Yeah.
Right. And so if your church does not individualize ministry and really model what transition looks like there, you're not giving parents a good blueprint for how to do it in those 166 hours you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's how important is that for churches to realize you're not just doing children and youth and young adult. Next Gen ministry is really family ministry.
It really is.
Because we have a great opportunity to really allow, not just speak into a child's faith, but into a child's life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I believe that when you speak into a child's faith, you do speak into their life.
Yeah.
Because you're exposing them to a broader world of what life can be. Right. You know, you're giving them a different opportunity to have different kind of vision for their life. Because when you start realizing, man, I was made in the image of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's wow.
Yeah.
You know, like God knows everything about me. Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah.
But still, wow. Yeah. Right. And how does that call me to live in a certain kind of way? You know what I mean? So it really just informs the way that we ought to be carry out our lives. And it helps parents to know how to parent their children when it comes to so many different things.
Yeah.
You know, and not just faith. I think that one of the beauties of what our Black church has been is how it has been an anchor for communities.
Yeah.
Right. And how it has just been a village surrounding children.
Yeah.
When I say children, I mean everybody who's a child. I'm 18.
Yeah.
Right? A village surrounding children, and how that community that we've established way back when, you know, within the church, how it just gives people a different glimpse, whether it's mentorship, you know, gives them a different vision of what their lives can be. So thank y'all for being a part of this conversation, and thank y'all for the ministry and the service and the work that you all are doing. Don't quit. I know it's not always easy. Ministry is not meant for the faint at heart, but let me just take this moment to really, really encourage you all, because the work that you all are doing, and everybody, all of y'all too, who are listening, the work that you all are doing is so incredibly important. And just because people within our church, our Big C church, don't always prioritize it, like you talking about a babysitting service, just because they might not prioritize it, just because it may not be funded, just because, you know, you might got some kind of tension, because sometimes it's tension between ministries. It does not mean that the work that you're doing is not important. In speaking life into somebody. I've said this before, and I probably say it 1,000 times. One of the reasons I love being in youth ministry, working with youth, is because you never know what they're going to grow up to become.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I could play a small role in shaping somebody's future, then my God, whether they stand on that stage years later and say something about me or not, I don't need all that, but I'll just see them and I'll know, you know, I have some students who are doing just some phenomenal things that just make me so emotional when I think about, man, I got to just ride with you for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? So I know y'all got some things that I want to give y'all an opportunity to just plug some things y'all got going on. I know, Tara, you wrote a book recently. You came out of a book called You Are Not Crazy. Help us understand why we're not crazy. Tell us a little bit about it.
The book is for parents, because sometimes parents think they're going crazy.
I need to copy me a copy right now.
Yeah, I need that. My 10-year-old twin is off the chain.
And so you're not crazy. It may be chaos. I'm trying to help parents, you know, find the chaos in their home. And so it's 7 secrets to find it, to be able to have a stress-free family environment. Mm. And so I'm talking about you getting rid of generational anxiety, because sometimes we're passing on things that we have within ourselves to our kids, right? How are you going to avoid parental burnout? You know what I mean? Because you're trying to do so much, and then providing support and letting people support you. Yeah. Sometimes we try to be long rangers and we don't need to be.
Yeah.
We got support, but we don't necessarily want to access the support. And not only you need the support, but kids need the support. So that is why, you know, in my business, I do life coaching for kids. Yeah. And so that's what my book is about.
So I know our producer Ashley is telling me it's time to wrap, but I'm going to ask you real quick. Sorry, Ash. What was the inspiration for writing this?
Like I said, I have 4 kids, and we were a military family. And what I found as we moved to place to place to place is that the kids were really challenged with their emotional health. And I was too. And I didn't know it. And so once I tapped into the fact that I needed to get a control over my anxiety in order to help them, and I start seeking help for myself, I realized they need help. And I said, what other parent is out there thinking, I'm failing at this?
Ooh.
I'm failing at this parenting thing. You know what I mean? But I don't want to fail. And that's I want my kids to be successful. Mm. And so I wrote the book for the parent to help them be able to tap into, find the chaos so that you can correct it, so that it can go generational and the kids can correct themselves too.
So good.
Generational health. I'm with that. Wow. Yes. And Jay, you lead 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME.
Yes, yes.
Talk to us about that.
Yes. So 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME is a young adult ministry that's 18 to 35. We're a hybrid young adult community, and so you don't necessarily have to be in the state of Georgia in order to engage with us. However, we really prioritize helping just young adults be the best people that they can be, because we realize that as you're growing into young adult ages, you're not necessarily just an adult. You still are a child of God. And so showing you what does that look like, by also walking alongside you so you can be able to build the spiritual foundation, so you can be a great parent, so you can be a great leader, so you can be a great student, so you can be all of these different aspects that sometimes I feel like is missed because we really want to get our kids right before they go to college. And then once you're 18, you're out of my house, you know? And so I think that we just want to build a space and a platform for young adults to really find themselves in the most stressful time of life, while also the most beautiful time of life, where God is really showing you in real time what he's trying to do through your life and your career and your family relationships and et cetera.
Wow. Yeah. So anybody listening can get plugged in with that.
Anybody can get plugged in. We have our social media is 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. And so you can find us on Instagram. We have young adult Bible studies that are every Thursday. If you're in the Atlanta area, we have an in-person experience called 1-800-LIVE, where you can come every second Sunday at Peace Baptist Church. But then we also put in different programmings throughout the night, throughout the year. So that's worship experiences. We do discipleship retreats and all types of things.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And Tara, can you tell us where we can find your book?
You can find my book at terracartina.com, terracartina.com.
Awesome. We'll also put those in the show notes for everybody to check out too. Before we wrap, any last thoughts, any last words?
Thank y'all. I just want to thank y'all for caring about the conversation. I think that in order for a change to happen in a church, there has to be a table where we can communicate these topics at. And I just don't think that there's a lot of platforms that are affirming youth or just affirming the experience of Black people in church, and that they also have the ability to stand on the backs of other leaders that are here. And so I thank y'all for the work that y'all have done inside the communities, while also giving us a platform to really speak on this. And hopefully somebody can glean from this conversation something. So,
and I'm just going to say, I'm going to encourage all the children, youth, and adult ministries to be one band, one sound.
Yeah.
One band,
one sound.
You feel me?
And stick together. And so I thank you guys for having us.
For sure.
Thank you for being here. This is gold.
Dope conversation.
We on to something.
Yeah,
baby.
Come on.
We on to something, Ash.
Come on.
We on to something. For all of y'all listening, thank you so much for checking out this episode of the Boom Podcast. All right, y'all, let's keep the conversation going over in our Facebook group. Head over to Facebook and find us, The Boom Community. And if you can't find us on Facebook, head over to our website, theboomcommunity.com. Thanks for being here. And until next time, peace.
A special shout out to our team for making this episode happen. This podcast was produced by Ashley Johnson. Theme song composed by GR the Great. Special thanks to our Fresh Leftovers family, Legacy and DJ, for production. Production assistant, Jessica Virgil. Edited by Jay. Co-host, Robert E. Purvey. Special thanks to our guests, Tara Cartina and Jay Wallace. Hosted and directed by me, Candace Swin. And a heartfelt thanks to you, our listeners, for your continued support.